Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info. And today is Tuesday, May the 19th, 2015, and this is hour 271 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with her amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. And I want to say once again, I really appreciate James from North Wales, Pennsylvania, for helping to host all these hours. Thank you very much, James, because it makes it work for us. And thank you. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello. Welcome back. We talking last time, and at the end of the recording, you said, "Oh, ask me that next week."
Yeah, I forgot what it was. But.
Well, it was. My question was: is when, and you've spoken about this before, but it's always good to hear what you say. The people who pass away, are they still on this mission? And so you said, "Oh, ask me next week."
Well, that depends, actually. If you're talking about a linear time base of continuance, if you were to go and say, "Okay, you go from this point, you live your life," and which is fairly basic in terms of a linear time, yeah. And it ticks away and our life ends. And then we slip into another dimensional zone, you might say. One higher dimensional zone where time isn't a functional element as serious as it is here, where you seem to be locked into it. In consciousness sake, many people will essentially go into a type of hibernation, sleep, you might say, where others continue through. But ultimately, our life experience and our characteristics of personality are held and recorded, you might say, almost to the point of being able to be mimicked in perfection. That's how our life can be many times retold to an individual who was sleeping. They come back, they really don't have memory of a previous life, but then of their previous life, mortal life. And then they're many times requiring a reliving or retelling of their life. And it is a near instantaneous event where you don't relive it in terms of sequential time. You relive it in terms of a time dump, which comes down from, you might call him who is very close in nature to God, the Supreme Being, who by our life and our experience and many of the sentient beings throughout are contributors into the grand, you might say, personality of the Supreme, who has the ability to record life experience. So some people will sleep, others will just continue on. But if you're talking about sequential time, it may be broken up into points of sleep or points of continuance. Also, the points of travel, too. Great distances can be traveled within our universe that may require a form of sleep. Yeah. So then the continuance happens. But for the consciousness, you might say almost everything seems to be sequential. It seems to just continue on. Yeah. Even if a person may be asleep for 100 years, 1,000 years, or whatever it may require.
A 1,000 years? Wow.
It can be, yes. Definitely over 1,000 years.
Which may seem like it just...
It's a near equivalent, 1,000 years is near equivalent to one day in Havana, or the central heaven, you might call it. So that one day time period, 1,000 years, is, you know, just a simple day through another development of sequential time, which is, you know, where awakened and fully conscious personalities continue their divine ascent. Ascent to grasp fully the embrace of the divine nature. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the key benefits of being alive is that many times if we take a conscious effort into manipulating our life's experience in the light of being not only just a human being, but at a level of a human being, intelligent, civilized, having manners, having a way of also approaching the divine through close interaction with our own personal guide, internal guide, the divine fractal, the thought adjuster, the fragment of God, the essence of truth that lies within us already. By making that approach continually and without end, generally the transformation and progress would have a very, very efficient continuance. There will be there will not necessarily be a sleeping period. It will continue to be an awakened period of sentient development, you know. Man. So that
sounds like a terrific benefit.
Yeah, so if you don't live that way and you continually do the opposite, which is to remain close to the natural side, what I would call the animal side, much of that is not embraced by the divine nature. Much of that is a fulfilling of the nature of having instinctive drive and fulfilling instinctive or base needs, which are organic to ourselves, our physical selves, but are not transmutable to the divine nature. The divine nature has a higher order of priorities to be fulfilled in life. These priorities start out, yes, at the base nature, but ascend past them, moving us from a relationship between ourselves and the necessity of maintaining our physical selves, and then our cultural selves, and our civilized selves, intelligent selves, and into fulfilling a composite of the divine nature, which is to continually, you might say, ask higher and higher level questions, such as you've asked in this one. These higher and higher level questions are the result in the philosophies that are able to direct us toward even higher civilizations, civilizations which are indestructible, and also sciences and technologies that are not imaginable immediately, but eventually become imaginable. And through the divine relationship, inspiration happens. And through constant effort, the inspiration ends up in real fabrication of the technology. And as that technology is fabricated, we have higher and higher abilities. You know, the technology that was mimicked is something that Christ did. Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, did all of his resurrection by himself. He didn't need a technology. Yet, the discovery and the approach to divinity will reveal the higher levels of reality, the extra-dimensional properties that are contained in which will allow us to transfer soul consciousness, life, into the real sense of living, into another body, another physical, higher level body, which is a technology, but a technology whose secret remains only with the, you might say, the higher divine sons. And even those that transplant life or carry life, the life carriers, don't have that secret. It's something that even the big rebel Lucifer did not have. Yeah, so but the understanding of the continuance of the consciousness was all part of his domain too. He understood that. But it wasn't to the degree in which, you know, this life continuance that we experience through the divine relationship could be mimicked by a fallen son. Yeah. All he could do was basically something approaching a magic show. Mirrors and smoke and mirrors concept and divergent. How he would do this, of course, would be working very incredible lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Well, back in April, Ted from Pennsylvania sent this in from the Wall Street Journal. I've posted it on the listen page. It's a bit too long to read here, but I'll tell you that it just says, the subject matter, is God dead? And it says, I don't think so, and now the physicists are getting on board. And he writes, Michael and Curtis, I found this wonderful article in, of all places, the Wall Street Journal. And he signs Ted from Pennsylvania. The article title, Science Increasingly Makes the Case for God. The odds of life existing on another planet grow even longer. Intelligent design, anyone? And then he has the article. And do you have a comment for that, Michael?
Well, this is an approach that is very important toward our ascent career for the group, for our people, for the human race on Urantia. You see, much of what we consider true religion is only a part of a truth. You know, it's like the blind man describing the elephant, everybody grabbing a different part of the elephant, right? Mm-hmm. You know that parable. And when it comes right down to the ancients, many of them did describe part of the etheric, you might say, not necessarily the spiritual aspect of worship. And the spiritual aspect of worship is absolutely true, but it is only one part of true worship. Yeah, another extent of true worship is what I was previously pointing toward, which is inspiration. It is a two-way street. And one of the inspirational areas is in the discovery of grander realities. Now, when we expect to see God in His creation, we will probably misunderstand His nature. But if we see that His handiwork is real and do not look for His personality in it, we essentially are finding a branch of religion that has been held under, you might call it, a stranglehold by archaic philosophy and religion itself. The discovery of grander and greater realities have always been hindered by fear and the concept of it could very well become evil. And, sticks and stones can do a lot. You can build with sticks and stones, wonderful homes and things like that, or civilizations, or with sticks and stones, you can throw them at each other. So it can become weapons. So it's a matter of who handles that. So it's never a point that these points are, scientists are really realizing that the order of things are just too well ordered for it to become a accidental process, one in which millions and billions of years could go by to create. Not to say that creation in many aspects of the handiwork of the sons of God, which we are a part of, are the ascending sons of God from the mortal origin, will be able to contribute into, the creation or the handiwork. Here, the personality of the worshipers of God make their declaration of a unique handiwork of divinity itself. Essentially, the divine sons, as we arise and begin to actuate the relationship we have with the divinity fragment, opens up to ourselves the discovery of many, many more wonderful currents and forces and energies, even technicalities or technical tricks that allow us to progress on a more higher technical level, and essentially creating a evolved universe that is created by the sons of God, who are, you might say, the handiwork or the hands of the divine, of God Himself. So through us, on the most base areas of reality, the physical, much of the process continues on. And
call from Lake Beauty.
So anyway, that problem call there. In any case, as we continue on through our lives, we should, in our form of worship, this continual discovery of the nature of God, not only the fact that He is very much a very loving, lovable Father with, you might say, seven-dimensional properties of personality, exquisitely placed within the universe, that we may, you might say, exchange our bit of self to gain a much greater relationship. And that's our life experience. So transferring from base need to true worship extends our ascent career far, far ahead. We don't have to be confused into thinking that our lives were just meant to be lived to the end and to the fullest in our opinion of what is the fullness of life. But it is one of the things that I believe the sons of God, the descending sons of God, want us to fully experience as much as possible. In other words, we are not put here to have a controlled life experience, but a full life experience, an abundant life experience, one that is rich in experience, but in the relation and light of the divine shining, you might say, that lights the way toward grander discoveries, whether they be scientific ones, which are one element of religion that has been held down. That element, because when I went to the New Jerusalem, there was a group of people there who, you might say, wore like white lab coats. They were bald. They had very, very tall heads. Elongated, you might call it. Very tall heads. They were science. They were, you might say, the scientific types. But they were not telepathic at very strongly at all. Not like the Shahruds. But the element of their discovery was in that wing of worship, you might say, arm of what is true worship. And their specialty was science, and of all things, discovering even more and more things about the universe as it unfolds. I mean, they, as beings, you might say, people out there in the New Jerusalem walking around, embodied physical material beings, having a kind of a human look to them, are on the same ascent career as we. And others are further ahead. Others seem to be behind or on a simpler path. But nevertheless, the full discovery of the nature of God is beyond our lifespan. So we need to expand it, our life. And as we expand our life experience, believe it or not, they will help us to expand our life, to experience even more, so that we will not stagnate. It is us, we the people in our design of life, or our choices in life, that cause ourselves to stagnate in our development toward the divine nature. So we participate in it, we move and have our being in it, and if we continually stay within a domain which is a comfort zone, that may not necessarily be the place where they want us to be, and will many times cause us to move out of it so that we can fully embellish our life with the infilling of the divine nature. And that would be through many of the natures of the sevenfold spirits of God, and receiving the insight by the Holy Spirit, the insight that is divine and father-like and son-like, especially many people will say, you know, the Lord told me, in reference to Christ, Jesus. And that is true because it is on that circuit, the Holy Spirit circuit. But there is another circuit, the Spirit of Truth circuit, which brings in greater and more wonderful revelations of truth, which also includes scientific discoveries of truth, pointing the individual, hey, look over here, study it carefully, and you'll discover these greater truths. And more, these are the things that are expanding the real, true worship that this planet needs in order that it may become fully embraced by the universe of the faithful ones, the rest of the universe, under, you know, the leadership of Christ Jesus. Lord of Nebadon, even creator of Nebadon, the universe that we're in right now. And even if we're down, way down in a fallen sector of Satania, we still are well able to continue our ascent career. And it being maybe propelled by the ascent energies that are within life, not only our physical life, but the ascent energies that we drink in. You might call them living water, that cause us to continually have the motive of continually living and discovering and having greater purpose in life, from one to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's just, and it's a stage where we can accept them, you know. We can appreciate it, full life. It is this full life that we will and are gifted for, if, as long as we continue our progress forward. We might have a design in our mind, thinking what might be the right way, but then many times we get corrected to show that that's not the source of it. Just go to the source and receive that, and from that which is and was and is divine, all resources will be made handy for us to use. Yeah. So we won't become, you might say, impoverished spiritually if we desire truly that which is not at a point of being terminal. And many of the things which are terminal are one of the things is our bodies, you know. It has a termination to it. Other things are whatever it takes to give comfort to the physical realm. And that is terminal. So we invest too much in those things, gives us no real inheritance past that. And that's a point where we've got to make choices. And then we find out, wow, there is really another dimension of life. And that's not necessarily one that is isolated from our brethren or our brothers that and sisters. They give us an enhanced meant of a greater and grander brotherhood, because one of the things that I brought back from my experience at the New Jerusalem with these many other people there was that they were people, just like different people in the world who may speak a foreign language or may look different, dress different, but they're still people with personality and with the same natures that we have. And what we have to do is rise up past the base natures of animal legacy and break through that toward the divine characteristics. And one of the greatest characteristics is this tremendous love. But about and surrounding this tremendous love is great peace. So as you start walking toward or into that, you might call it a domain or a room filled with light, you also get a grandness of peace. And all that which you do will be guided by this great peace, because it gives you comfort much more than it does fear. The aspects of living a small life is a life contained, coiled up, and hidden because of fear. Uncoil, unwind, and move through a grander and greater experience of discovering the full divine nature. And some of that is in terms of the discoveries of science. That is a type of worship that many of the religions never could quite express, because they held that much of what God is not exchangeable with a mortal being. But that's not true. It is another segment of his personality, that grander part of the personality of intelligent design is for us to be also intelligent designers and motivated by that very same nature, which is an extension of the personality and relationship we can have with God. And through that, the whole universe becomes much more wonderfully inhabited by people, more and more wonderful people.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's really great. Well, may have mentioned this before. Well, we did talk about the Mauna Kea telescope, but on the 24th of April, Paul J.S. writes that regarding a link to an article put out by RT, mm-hmm. Sean Stone interviews Lenny Sinkin, advisor to the Dynamic King of Hawaii, about the protests over the construction of the telescope on the state's biggest mountain, Mauna Kea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that going to go on Mauna Kea or Mauna Loa?
Mauna Kea is not the biggest mountain. Yeah. Mauna Loa is.
Mauna Loa is the biggest mountain. Mauna Kea is the one closest to the mainland.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's a younger one. It's still active. Mauna Kea is still active. And Mauna Loa is considered dormant, much like Haleakala is dormant.
Oh, okay.
It could very well erupt again, given the right, you know, factors that might, you know, cause the upwelling of hot lava or hot magma to surface through an eruption. But that's that's something they're monitoring.
Mauna Kea is part of the huge volcano that houses Kilauea.
Kilauea, that's true.
Okay, all right, I got that right. All right. And then John from Columbia, Maryland, he wanted to send a link he says, the painting elephant in Thailand. Hi, Curtis, I remember Michael talking about an elephant that could paint just a few months ago. Maybe it was the Matiga Elephant Camp in, Chiang Mai.
That's
Chiang
where
Mai,
we were.
Thailand.
We were in Chiang Mai.
Mm-hmm.
And, they had changed their from working elephants in the teak wood industry, which teak wood became protected. And you can harvest it anymore. They have harvesting of teak, but that is in forest, their forestry. So these elephants were out of a job. So they taught them how to play soccer, and they taught them how to, you know, take tourists for a ride on their back. And they still had the lumbering nature of being like workers. Uh-huh. But the young ones who've never seen hard work are very different. And they had art, and they had ability to, you know, express their personalities. Yeah, so it was really neat. Yeah. The young ones never saw hard work. They're different, yeah.
Hmm. Well, there's a link on here. Mm-hmm. It said, I found this YouTube video today and remembered you and Michael talking about it. He said how active the young elephant was running around the other elephants on the trail. Maybe this is the same place. If so, you may want to post it on that Our Listen page.
Yeah, it is the same place.
Cool. Sambi
Chiang Mai. Yeah. Nice place. It's cute. Yeah. Won't forget it because it was like I was saying, it was something that I could not experience here, on the island of Maui,
mm-hmm.
and the nature of animals and things like that. But you know how I was told, I remember saying, I wanted to learn so much more to the Dano before I left. He said, you can ask any questions. So I ran through some of the questions I asked and the answers. But one of the questions I asked, I want to learn some more. Can I stay here? He says, no, you don't need to stay here. You don't need to stay here in the New Jerusalem. Most of what we want you to learn is back on Urantia, on Earth. So we'll help you there. And this is one of the things I wanted to express right now. We'll help you there. For all of you who are listening to this and understand, they're very willing to expand your life dimension. Your life dimension can expand out to experience so much more as they take you for a reality ride in experiencing the handiwork of God. And then also may take you for a ride in discovering and becoming an inventive person and inventing things and stuff like that, or being applying in many instances the technologies we have today. I'm still amazed. You know, in the communications field, you remember Morse code? You know?
Oh, yes.
Da-di-da-di, you know?
Yep, E is a dip. Dot?
Yeah. Yeah, dip, or a dot, you know, and a dash.
Dot. Dashes?
Yeah, well, that was something that made Edison very good. He was first a telegrapher. And from that training in his mind, simplistic, he became much more inventive. Interestingly, it was a dislocation from normal communication using a different means. It catapulted him in a level of creativity. And for me, it is just amazing to see where we are today in our technology, gone far past Morse code. But it's still coded. Our digital field is much more sophisticatedly coded, and much of the decoding is done by our own machines, electronic devices. And even that, we are mimicking, and we realize more that they are actually mimicking some of the simplest technologies that are held within the bug, and a little insect has a digital technology of its own. So this is kind of interesting, you know, and this is where the Dano is selling. I'll give you, you'll learn it, you'll experiencing it through our life. Just if we continue to participate in the divine nature, the divine nature will make sure that we participate in a growing sense of experience. So our lives become full in the reserve of life experience. And as a result, we don't become sleeping survivors. We become continual life experiencers and ascenders and have no break in between. Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, Mike in Utah sends this a couple days ago. He says, greetings from Utah. Hello, Curtis. Hope all is well with you guys. Just thought I'd forward this to you as I thought it was highly informative concerning the Shemitah that Michael talked about.
Shemitah, the 7 years.
Yeah. Shemitah. And then he says, what are the odds? And here's a link with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Mm-hmm. Mystery of the Seventh Cow Deepens. And I watched this last night. It's interesting. It'll blow your mind how these cows were born with a seven on their head. Mm-hmm. It sure looks like we're being prepared for something big. Keep your eyes and your ears and eyes open to keep up the good fight, Curtis. We're doing all right over here. Greetings and best wishes, Mike from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathleen writes a couple days ago, she says, this is a question for Shaharon. Hi, Curtis and Michael. Hope all is well with you. First, I'd like to share an experience I had on Friday night, the 15th of May. In the middle of the night, as I was in a state of awakening, I became conscious that one of the chaperones was speaking to me. I believe it to be a chaperone because I recognize the accent that I hear when they speak through Michael. I thought to myself that I should get up and write this down, but then I thought that, no, it's okay, go back to sleep. I'm sharing this because a point was made for me and to be aware, consciously, that this happened, and I would like to ask the chaperones to verify if my experience was real. Also, I would like to ask the chaperones if they could explain more on how and why the energy of the human race is harvested by those who don't have our best interests in mind, and what is the best method, METHO, to protect ourselves from being used in this way. And she concludes by saying, I've also included a link to a video that I listened to yesterday in which Michael Tellinger brings up some interesting topics about sound as free energy. To me, one of the most novel things that he brought up was that if you look at an aerial photograph of many of these ancient sites, which are located on major ley lines, the layout appears to resemble a computer circuit board with an amphitheater or coliseum attached. He suggests it was a method of harvesting energy. I would like to ask the chaperones if they are able to comment on this also. Here is the link to the video and an article that explains it a bit more, and she provides the link. Thank you all so much. Signed, love and joy, Kathleen.
Okay, Kathleen. So, desire is to have a relationship with the chaperones. One or more, there are many, actually 12 that I did experience. I would answer that. It's theotractic, presently here. Yes, it was us. Be confident that it was us. And to your favorite voice that you will hear more acutely than the rest, tune into him. He will be simply as a friend. Remember that this is so that as many as possible will gain this greater relationship with the family of God, as you might call it, the greater heavenly family that you do have, the celestial groupings that are very close to you, that are presently ushering you, the human race, toward a greater and greater awakening. This greater awakening includes extra-dimensional communication, commonly called telepathy, mental telepathy. But it is only a outreach from us, and one in which we have always anxiously awaited for those who have ears to hear. The circuit that is being used is one which was initiated by Jesus Christ in his ascent. The descending of the Holy Spirit bears his character, his nature, his human nature, making such a relationship between him and all of you much easier. But it also gives us a gateway of communication, actively and making possible the participation between other celestial beings who have your good in mind. You mentioned those who rob and steal life force from you. It is simply because they have been cut off. They are becoming more and more less real. They are falling away. And sometimes, as a drowning person grasps a swimmer, a champion, a life savior, for flotation, many of these are grasping toward your energy, which is alive and full. Know this, that your ability to drink in the spirit of life is very important. You must continually avail yourself of that ability in the direct operation between yourselves and the divine voice within. In such communications as you hear right now will become a very, very comforting and true guiding voice, making your life full and wonderful, and also watching out for you, giving you opportunity as well, and causing you to expand in your life experience. Your life will become fuller and greater and more rewarding as you extend yourselves toward the divine. The nature of the divine will become ever more present in you, and you will be able to tolerate much, much more of the lower natures of men, because you understand the guidingness, the guiding voice, the guiders of these higher realms of nature, and are well capable of pointing others toward that. More than simple pointing, you will be able to become true guiders and teachers by this. This is the reason that we call upon you, for our voice will rest upon silent ears, unable to hear us. But if you are able, then your ability to translate truth from the realm of light into the realm of the twilight, which you are in right now, much easier and more powerful. When you approach a situation within a person who looks forward toward the light, will be able to help guide you. The sentence is necessary, the voice of your conversation and the movement toward them will open up an exchange that will flow energies into them that they will love. And then because of that, you will also become loved. The exchange is not because you personally contain that love, but are simply a conduit for the greater, which is from the first source and center, which is the nature and truth of divinity. And that is how you are to ascend the divine ladder of grand and great hope toward absolute fulfillment and finality, and becoming a creator's son, handy tool to continue the creation far beyond the reaches of the universe as it is right now. Confident, therefore, that it was our intent, and there are others, many more, who do hear, and some who have even seen our image. Do not be fearful, therefore. We have walked in your path of ascent. There is, from your domain of mortal life, and within it, the actual stairs, rungs of a ladder that will be presented to you one by one, that make your ascent full and fruitful, and you'll be able to accomplish much, yes, very much, in this, your life, your personal life of ascent. This Hiratarakvik Shaharun speaks to you now. And all, be confident that the tiny voice within you is real, that will be able to expand grander and grander expositions of the glorious divine construct that you are being created to inherit. Aloha is the word I will use that will help you understand.
Aloha, Chaperone. So nice for you to use aloha in that way. That was interesting, Michael.
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. It was quite a lecture then. Yes, so I hope that it's understandable, because many times for me, in quiet times, I will reflect upon that, and there may be a voice of the higher destiny being. But most importantly, if you participate in the Holy Spirit circuit, you will have a very much awakened divine fractal, gaining personality to make conversation with you. And it will take upon itself many different tones so that they can understand them. And they come from the source of personality, and many times are well able to guide or help us in times when we kind of need it. Yeah. So anyway, that's a kind of a comforting thing that you do find in simply moving off. One of the first things we must do in our approach to divinity is the place where our ego sits. You know, you were talking about some people that just seem to only want to talk about themselves. You know, we all have experienced that. They seem to have the whole universe revolving around themselves. And, you know, one of the hard things to do in the beginning is to jump off of that seat and let the divine fragment have that seat, have that place. And now you become a might say, closely revolving agent around that center. And because of that, the growth of life experience becomes so full and so wonderful, and you're able to move from one domain to another. Even changing life direction and career can actually come to a point where you are now coming to a choice, and I'm going to guide you to the right choice, even when you're trying to make the wrong one. And that has happened to me personally. You know, I was going toward what many people would call, wow, you're ascending, you know, this high career of corporate, you know, way up in the corporate ladder. And it's, no, you're not going that way. That's not the way I want you to go. And sometimes we give permission to that to happen, that the divine direction takes place. And then years later we find out, wow, that was, everyone calls us genius to make that choice, you know. I was making the wrong choice, and then I'm forced into the right choice, you know.
Yeah, to get on the right path, that's the big battle. Once you're on the right path, then like every station you come to is the right station.
Yeah.
But you have to get on the right path first.
Yeah. And many times we just haven't been taught the right signals to look for. You know, this is the, well, you know, everybody teach you go to college. You got to climb the corporate ladder. Well, that was not the right path, you know. That was corrected. Oh, okay. No, I didn't make it. Well, no, you did. You actually did, because here comes the one we want you to choose. And it wasn't even part of the game in the beginning. And it's just, oh. And then you easily move to that next one. And some people might say, is that, you know, is that just mere circumstance, you know, but, you know, just by happenstance it happens, you know. Well, there's, you know, there could be, you know, different words used to describe something like that. It's like a serendipity, you know. But not really, you know. It's really when you commit yourself to the divine ascent through the Creator Son, in a relationship with Him, in His universe of creation, you will find there is a wonderful plan bigger than what we can compose. Mm. You know, we try to compose pretty good ones for ourselves. A lot of times they end up being, you know, wow, is that all I could think of? Kind of small-minded. Yeah.
Yeah, well, seeing things through, good ideas are a dime a dozen, but to have them work out, that takes time and money.
Yeah. One of the things, when I was ordained by a woman that produced a phenomenal following of you know, people in, you know, this church thing. She went through World War II, and her ministry was just full of servicemen. I mean, it was, you know, thousands of servicemen just flocked in there, trying to, you know, wartime, you know. But through all of that, she was able to come up with something I found in the Urantia book. And she said it came right out of heaven to her through the same channel, Holy Spirit channel. And it came to her and it said, action with living faith in God knows no defeat. And what is the key word? Living faith in God. The Urantia book uses that. And this actuation of living faith brings about that higher dimensional reality that is extends itself well beyond our own ideas of what, you know, is true reality. We begin to discover, wow, our reality matrix is extended into a domain that is, well, beyond that. Mm. Yeah. Because some people say it's all our own fabrication. It's not. It's more than that.
A lot more than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, oh, so anyway,
that's the story.
Yeah, that's the story. Okay, now how much time we got left here?
Well, we're 58 minutes and...
Oh, almost done. Or
yeah, very close. I just wanted to say that you and your wife are headed on a cruise in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, we're going to go on a discovery of more of the Mediterranean area. Yeah, decided that I was tromping through a lot of the countries and decided maybe I'd like to ride through them somewhat and make it a more enjoyable pathway of discovery. Yeah, so that might be one of the interesting dimensions that are extended out to me, which is offered to everyone. It's just that how it's put together may take close to, you know, a long period of your life. And it's sort of forged and hammered together in a secret place. And then you don't really know it's in the works until it happens. And then, wow, your life changes to a greater dimension. But you gotta make the we gotta overcome, and the hardest place to overcome is getting off that seat, which is saying, you know, I've got the middle of the universe and everything revolves around me. And that's a hard place to get off. I remember trembling and shaking, physically shaking, because I didn't understand who was trying to get seated in that place, and it was the Divine One. you know. And then I found out, oh, sure, you can have this seat. I wasn't doing much of a good job on it anyway. Yeah.
Well, this this life is a big learning experience for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seems like we learn all the way through.
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't. Then we're like, might as well be sleeping, and that's the problem that happens with the sleeping survivors. Their life journey will pick up in a position which doesn't necessarily need continuance. It didn't necessarily have all these extra plans to it. So they'll pick up later. But for us who are living the higher dimension of ascent, there won't be this sleeping career. It'll be a continual, you might, it's called, biblically in the Bible, it's called the first resurrection. But it's really one which is a first translation. Continuous, and you realize it. And it's to those who have that, you don't have to fear walking the path of lonesomeness and dissolve into becoming a non-entity. Mm. Just considered the second death. Yeah.
Mm. Well, you have a good, safe trip, and it sounds like you're going to be sailing for a few weeks here.
No, well, three at least, yeah.
Three or so.
We might just continue walking around you someplace. Kind of thinking about Pest or Buddha, Budapest.
Budapest.
Pest, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you have a good, safe trip, and we will be listening in a few weeks, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Aloha, Michael. Have a good, safe trip, and a good return.
Okay. Bye-bye. Aloha.
Aloha. Bye.